You'll turn with me to our text this morning. We are continuing with a sermon series on 1 John. John's first epistle in the scriptures toward the end of the New Testament, almost immediately before the book of Revelation at the end. I want to look at chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. That's page number 1902 in your pew Bibles, I believe, as we look for it and to it. You also have a blue bulletin insert that gives you some sermon notes, outline, fill in the blanks to follow along. It will be helpful if you're keeping track with that as we go along. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7, hear the word of God. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has sent us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The man who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Knowing God is the chief occupation and the highest priority for every Christian. Our goal, our purpose, all the meaning of our lives is wrapped up in knowing him and being known by him. So this is such an important topic, such an important message, and such an important text. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says, I consider all things loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, knowing God. But we need to maintain a balance in our understanding, as the scripture gives us a balanced revelation of the person and nature of who God is. Last week we talked about God as light, in other words, holiness, glory, truth, and justice, the light in the scripture. Today we're focusing on God is love, his grace, mercy, kindness, etc. It's a perfect balance if we hold those two together, grace and truth, light, and love. You can't have one without the other. You can't favor one over the other and be true to God's revelation of himself in the scriptures. It's absolutely essential for each one of us to understand these truths about who God is in relationship to us. To review last week, God is light, as we saw in 1 John. Light symbolizing His glory, holiness, truth, and righteousness. His light is the standard for all truth in this world, in our lives. True truth, what we believe about our doctrines. John warns against heresies then in the first century and now in the first six verses of the chapter, in the context of this chapter and this passage I read. He's warning against false teachers in the church. And our true confession of faith, our true statement of what we believe, is proof that we know Him. Assuring our salvation. I mentioned last week that one of the basic purposes of John writing this letter is that we might have the assurance of our salvation as we understand these themes. So important for us. God's light is the standard for true truth, and it's also the standard for righteousness in our lives, in our works, in our deeds, what we do. He commands us to be holy as He is holy. Our consistent obedience is a second proof that we have been born again, that we belong to Him, that we know Him, that we have the assurance of our salvation. So important. We said last week that the light of God sometimes makes us uncomfortable. Light coming on. Perhaps you've heard that when you turn on the lights in a dark room, the cockroaches scatter to get out of the light. Well, not in my house. Probably not in your house. I know the trustees just made their inspection of our house. No cockroaches. Anyhow, but we're unlike moths who are drawn to the light. Well, forget bugs. Anyhow, Jesus said, men love the darkness because their deeds are evil. Men love the darkness, hate the light. They want to scatter. And His holiness exposes our unholiness. Well, that sets the foundation for today, where we look at God's love. God is love, today's theme. Big deal, preacher. I've heard this message, this theme, over and over again. Preachers are always talking about God is love. Well, it is my belief that if we really knew the love of God deeply, profoundly in our hearts, it would radically change our lives. How we feel about ourselves, how we understand God, and how we act towards one another. Today, we want to think about God who is love, His preeminent, prevenient, prerequisite love. Title of this morning's message is, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. Right? Sorry, Tina Turner. Love is way more than just a secondhand emotion. I know some of you are way too young to get that reference. But anyhow, God's love is preeminent. Preeminent. God's love is preeminent. Preeminent means superior, supreme, the highest of all, most excellent. As we sang that great Charles Wesley hymn, love divine, all loves excelling, preeminent. Messiah College, my sister went to Messiah College in the middle of Pennsylvania, and the seal and crest and theme verse of that university is Colossians 1:18. I had to look it up because I didn't recognize it right off. It says that Christ is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything He might have the preeminence. There you go. Right there. Christ is preeminent, supreme. Other translations use the word supremacy. And so it is with His love. back when I was young, just firstly married. I was working at Sears. I've told you about that before. And some of you remember back with Sears, Roebuck and Company. They had three stages, three phases, good, better, and best, right? Remember that? Anybody remember paint or whatever you were buying? They had their good version of that, their better, and their best. The workers in my group used to say, well, it really should be bad, worse, and most lousy. But anyhow, not really. God's love is better than best, best of the best, and so is Christ himself. His love is preeminent, and as such, God's personal essence, his being itself, is love. God is love, John says here in verse 8 and verse 16. It's repeated in this short passage. Not only does God love you and me, not only does God have love for us and for all of his creation, but God is love, essentially, in who he is. His very nature is love. And God's prime love, God's love is prime, primary, prime love. You know, in this passage, it says that he is the paradigm of love, the paragon of the virtue of love, the prototype of love, love's perfect pattern, the prime example of love. John 3:16, we all know that for God so loved the world, each one of us, that he gave his only begotten Son. That giving is the prime example of our life, our giving. His light, his love is prime. His love is also perfect. God's perfect love. In contrast to our imperfect love, we try to love one another, but our love is all too often conditional. God's love is unconditional. Our love is often mixed and blended with selfishness, but God's love is totally selfless. While ours is inconsistent and changing, inconstant, his is constant and abiding. While our love is finite and limited, God's love is infinite and unlimited. While our love is often fickle and capricious, God's love is steadfast. Where our love is temporal, often materially based, his love is eternal and supernaturally based. His love goes deeper than the depths of our sin. His love can carry us to the heights of heaven. His love can reach wide enough to embrace everyone in the whole world. His love can go long enough to go through all and carry us through all of eternity. Here's another song. Some of you may remember back in the mid-60s, Petula Clark, not only Downtown, right? But she also sang a song, My Love. Our youth group back in the 60s, back in the day, was so radical that we changed the words of that popular song and sang them in our youth group. Amazing. And we said, God's love is warmer than the warmest sunshine, softer than a sigh. His love is deeper than the deepest ocean, wider than the sky. God's love is brighter than the brightest star that shines every night above. And there is nothing in this world that can ever change God's love. What a great thought. To know God's perfect, preeminent love. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And so we ought to lay down our lives for one another. It says in 1 John 3:16. You know John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. This is what love is. And Jesus also said, greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Sorry, Whitney Houston. There's a lot of songs in this sermon today. she sang that she'd been all around the world and seen all kinds of things, found that she could only depend upon herself. She sang, "I found the greatest love is inside of me." Well, that may be the case if Jesus and the Holy Spirit are inside of one. But the greatest love of all is not my love or your love, but God's love for us. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. That's the greatest love. In fact, to know His perfect love can cast out all fears. That's good news for us fearful, anxious, worrisome people. Be filled with the whole full measure of the perfect love of God, His preeminent love. It will change your life. It can change your life. God's love is preeminent. God's love is also prevenient. Prevenient, literally pre, before, venient, the Latin root for coming before. That love that comes before, He's way ahead of us. That's what we celebrate in infant baptism. As we think about the prevenient grace of God, His grace comes before we can even respond to Him as a child. And so infant baptism is a great demonstration of God's prevenient love and grace. God loved us first. As we read in verse 10, this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for us. And verse 19, we love because He first loved us. Who fell in love first? I often ask that question to couples as they come into my office for premarital counseling. How did you get into this? Who fell in love first? People ask, how about you and Bev? Who fell in love first? And I'll let Bev tell you that great story. That's not that great, but it's better if she tells it. Anyhow, who fell in love first? You know, my wife fell in love with watching the TV show, the reality TV show, The Bachelorette. I'm sorry. If you like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, I have to take extra Tums and nausea medicine. Anyhow, they're always saying, well, I'm starting to fall. Who fell in love? Well, God loved you. Even before the very foundation of the world, even before you were born, even as you are now. And our response to God's love is to love Him in return. Our response, as Paul writes in Romans 5:5-8, God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, God died for the ungodly, you and me. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates, or God proves His love toward us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's good news. We will sing a hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because He first loved me. His love moves us to respond with our love, and our worship, our devotion, our obedience, our service is our response to the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. God's love is prevenient. Know it, and it will change your life. God's love is also prerequisite. God's love is prerequisite. Prerequisite means a prior conditioning or a previously required issue. Prerequisite. I remember back when I was in college, I know it's hard to imagine remembering that far back, but anyhow, back in college, I was a psychology major and we had to take a statistics course. In fact, I had to take two statistics courses to make sure we got it and could understand the statistical basis of different studies and things that were done. And I hated that. What does statistics, standard deviations, probabilities, combinations, and so forth have to do with human behavior? Well, even though I hated it, I had to take those math statistics and psych statistics because they were prerequisite courses for other classes that I wanted to take. They were foundational and the basis for other classes. And so it is with God's love for us. God's love is prerequisite. It is the source of all other loves. Verses 7 and 19, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. We love because He first loved us. God's love, in other words, is the fountainhead flowing within us and through us. Is His love alive in your hearts, freely flowing in you and through you, overflowing in you? The natural result of His love deeply, freely flowing in you is our hearts can't contain His love without spilling over to others, bursting in overflow into the lives and loves of those around us. His love is the source. His love is also the force of love in us. His power, His love is the power that enables us and empowers us to love one another. You may be thinking, man, that guy's hard to love. Nobody can love that guy. He's so weird or whatever. Well, God's love knows no bounds, and His love within us gives us the power, the strength to love all people, even those that we find it difficult to love. Even at times when we find it difficult to love, God's love is the force with which we love continually, consistently, our spouses, our children, our friends, our brothers and sisters, our fellow Christians. That's what His love is all about. In fact, the New Testament has a specific Greek word for that love, and that is agape. The agape love for God. Not just brotherly love, but divine love, agape love. Not only perfect, but powerful. 1 Corinthians 13. You know that picture of perfect divine love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres, for love never fails. The only way that I can pull that off, that kind of love, the only way that any of us can love like that is through the power of God's love and the force of that love flowing freely in and through us. The inescapable and life-changing conclusions will change your life. First of all, first conclusion is that you are loved by God perfectly, personally, individually, uniquely. God loves you. God loves you. It'll change your life. If you recognize that, if you know that, if you feel that, God loves you along with the whole world. And so therefore, we must love one another. If we are to be known as His, the world will know us by the way that we love one another. We show the faith that saves us. We can have assurance of our salvation if we can see our love for God and our love for one another in response to His love. Love one another deeply, sincerely, from the heart. For there's no other way to be blessed in Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your infinite, incomprehensible, immeasurable love. Lord, I pray that You would open our hearts more and more and more to receive the full measure of that love, which overwhelms our fears, which overwhelms our doubts, which enables us to love like You. Help us, Lord. Help us to be fully embraced by You so that we might love and care and embrace one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.